Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Going to go live now. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight. I hope you'll stay with us throughout the duration of the show. So we're certainly looking forward to you all. And those of you all that call in early, if you want to chime in to the conversation tonight, at some point you can press 1. If you choose to not be called upon after we may have called on you, you can always press 1 to come out of the queue. Once you press 1, you'll go into a queue, and then you'll come out of the queue if you press 1 again. We're going to go ahead and start welcoming our co-hosts from all around the world, and we're going to start by going to the Peachy State and welcoming none other than the world-famous Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone. I don't know about that world-famous, but I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm ready for the show.
All right, we're certainly glad to have you, Miss Jay. She'll come back and give us a disclaimer momentarily in just a little bit. But let's go ahead now and bring in, Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, all the way from South Florida. Nice to have you here this evening, and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. What a wonderful topic we have tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent, excellent. Of course, we always have this international figure here. We've got Port Rosette. Port Rosette, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. All right, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, some more of our co-hosts are going to be joining us momentarily. Do I have a moral duty or obligation to help other people other than my family? We're going to read the story in about 10 minutes. You know, sometimes we feel that, why should I help anybody? why can't people just help themselves? If I got mine, why can't other people just get theirs? Before we get into tonight's broadcast, we're going to bring in Ricky to the rescue, and then we're going to go right there and have Ms. Jay give us our disclaimer for the evening. Ricky to the rescue, is always a pleasure to have you on our show.
Yes, I'm happy and excited to be here, ready to get started, and let's go ahead and just jump right into it.
All right, sounds good. Ms. J, with Ricky to the rescue, having said that, why don't we go ahead now and give that disclaimer.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much, Ms. Jay, for that. Let's go ahead and welcome all the way from South Florida. Go Girl, Go Girl, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here this evening. I am just been busy but blessed. Anyway,
all right.
I'm ready to discuss our topic of do I have a moral obligation to help others or people other than my family?
All right, excellent. Let's get right into it. We're going to read the story in about 8 minutes. I want to start tonight with Ricky to the Rescue. Ricky to the Rescue, and this is not, as Ms. J.S. said, this is not legal advice, of course, but in law school we learned, and having taken the bar exam, it tells us that there's a legal duty, and then, you know, the law is concerned about a legal duty, you know, a legal duty. And then you might have your moral duty or obligation. Now, the law says, and this is not legal advice, but my understanding of the law is that my legal duty is to pay taxes. If I'm obligated to my family, if I have children under age, my legal duty is to take care of my children until they're in a position to take care of themselves. My legal duty is if familiar relationships, if I have a spouse or if I have an obligation there, a legal obligation. If my spouse is sick, my legal obligation is to make sure that she gets the medical attention that she may be in need of. Now, if a man is on the street out there and it looks like he's even choking in a restaurant, my understanding of the law now, Ricky to the Rescue, do you think I have a legal duty to go over there, even if I'm medically inclined, to help that person who might be choking? Do you think I have a legal duty or a moral duty or obligation to go help that person, even if I know how to bring them, to, perform the, what do they call that maneuver? Somebody help me out here.
Heimlich.
Right. Thank you for that. That maneuver. Ricky to the Rescue, do I have a legal or moral obligation to help him? Why can't I just sit down and enjoy my food? That's his problem if he's choking.
Right.
So, I don't mean it like that, you also. But I'm just saying, we're just talking about the show tonight. I don't mean it like that. I'm not that cold, but, do I have a duty?
So I think that's an individual decision, and when you find yourself in those situations, you have to be careful as well. I often think about in the profession that I'm in, as an example, if you're working with children, right, and a child elopes and they run out into the street and you chase behind them and they get hit by a car, even though you was trying to protect them and they get hit by the car, that obligation can fall back on you and it can actually come back to bite you, right? And so you out there trying to do the right thing and the wrong thing happens. So I really think that's an individual decision when you're in your personal time, per se, because it can get so tricky, whereas you go out there and try to rescue or help, and then it all falls back on you on the other end in reverse.
Ricky to the Rescue, that is a brilliant point that you brought up. But I want to address that, going back to the situation in the restaurant, unless I put that party who's choking, the man who's choking, unless I put them in peril, P-E-R-I-L, unless I put them in peril, then I have no legal duty to act upon that. Now, the question becomes, and I think with what you're saying, it's an individual thing. If I think that I can help, maybe there might, your conscience is your guide. When it comes, and this is just my opinion, as Michelle read the disclaimer, your conscience becomes your guide whether or not this is a moral duty or obligation. Should I go help him out over there? The poor guy looks like he's choking. He could die off of this. Then it becomes, and it's an individual thing. And Ricky to the Rescue, what you're saying about children, I've worked in that capacity for 36 years, and you're so right. You're running after this child, and they run out into the street. Now, something like that recently happened within the last month that I read about. We read cases all the time. Something like that happened with, and now the parent, the professional, is being sued. So I agree with you 100%. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Do we have a moral duty? We're not talking legal duties tonight. That's because the legal duty has to do with familiar, more or less on the lines of familiar relationships, if it's family members. But we're going to look at moral. How would you define a moral duty, Ms. J? What is a moral duty?
Well, basically, an obligation based on your morality or your ethics. you know, relating to maybe, you know, somebody doing something good or bad. But it's just a moral or ethic thing to determine whether the behavior of somebody's right or wrong or whatever that you can do, you know, that you could help in. But as far as having a moral duties, you know, in a way we do, but there are limits to it. That's the way I see it. You know, like you all had mentioned some, you know, helping, well, for me, helping a child if I see them doing wrong, you know, try to steer them in the right way. If somebody need medical help like that, if I can't do it, I know how to dial 911 or scream for help or do whatever, you know. But I have some limits to it because if I come across someone personally that, you know, don't want to help themselves, and I might be thinking, okay, I want to help them because, you know, the ethics are, I just feel bad for them, and they, my help they use for different purposes, I don't think I have a moral duty to help them then. You know, that's when I kind of back away. So it's a limit to your moral duty.
Okay, so Ms. Yeh, while I've got you here, just quickly here, and I want to get to the story in just about a minute or two. So, Ms. Yeh, the question becomes, you stop at the one of these 7-Eleven stores. I don't know if they have them up here in Georgia, but the QT stores, I think they call them, where you get gas, mm-hmm. or any of these mm-hmm. little side street stores, right? So mm-hmm. you stop there, you want to run in just to get you a bottle of water because you just come from exercising, and then there's a person out there who's, you know, soliciting a few dollars to get some food or whatever. And you decide, you know, and the person is like, ma'am, if I could just get a couple of dollars from you, I haven't had anything in 3 days. And now you give the person $3. You have such a heart. You give them $3 to get them something to eat because you want them to get some food, maybe some water, some drink, $3. And then you come back, you know, by the time you look around and you find what you want to store, and now you find that they got a beer and some cigarettes and they're smoking. Ms. J, did you have a moral duty to help that person and they wanted some food, but you figured they wanted some food because they said they haven't eaten anything in 3 days.
Yeah.
So now how do you
yeah.
feel, Ms. J? The next person,
you know,
that you see at the next door, you're going to think about this person who bought beer and cigarettes?
You know, people like that make it hard for the people that truly, truly, truly want to get food with it. I would have given the person if I had the money out because I don't go in my purse for nobody. So if I had the money out, yeah, I'm going to go on and give it to them. And if I see them drinking that beer, I said, Lord, you know, it's a shame that I had to do that. But if I have money out, I give it to you, but I'm not going to go out my way, especially say I went back the next day to the store. And he was there.
Uh-huh.
That'll be the time when I'm like, no, buddy, I ain't got it, because beer costs more than $3. I probably would have said something sarcastic, but
okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Poor Rosette, I want to bring you in with the same question, and I got to get to the story. They're already threatening me over here. Poor Rosette, I mean, do you have a moral duty to somebody on the side of the street asking for money for food or water, and they're sitting there with their child? You know, you see this little bit, could be a 3-year-old, you know, out there sitting in the grass, and the mother, she's pregnant. God, I see this all the time. She's pregnant, and she's holding up a sign, you know, homeless, and I need help. I have 4 children. Now, come on now, poor Rosette, can you really just walk by that lady? Seriously?
You know what? I have been called to share the fragrance of Christ. It's more than just being plain old nice. You cannot give what you do not have some of. That's why we need to spend time with God above. God says if we lack wisdom, ask him and he will give it to us freely. What I have been given isn't only for me, but also for others in God's glory. So, yes, I'm going to ask God about it, and sometimes, you know, like they're saying, I may be impressed to, you know, to do it, and other times I may not be able to stop right then, but I'm always willing to help if I can.
All right, so now, wait a minute. So, poor Rosette, while I've got you on here, and thank you for that poetry. You're always right there, a budding poet. So I've got you here. So wait a minute now. You're going to have to ask God, oh, God, should I help this woman who's standing out here with a sign, says she needs help, and she's got 4 kids, and she just wants you to give her something. She's not looking for a sermon at that time. So you gotta actually, well, God, you gotta petition God to as to whether or not you should help this woman. Is that what I'm hearing, Poison Resent?
No, it's just like what Ms. J is saying. I may not have any cash on me. I may not have anything right then. So that's why I'm saying I may not be able to do it on the spot.
Okay.
But
all right.
If it's really bothering me a lot, then, you know, sometimes, you know, you may even be impressed to turn around and go back and do it. So.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. I think we're being joined by Patricia Parker this evening. Patricia Parker, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Do I have a moral duty or obligation to help other people? We got to get to the story in just a moment. But let me ask you, Ms. Parker, do you have a duty to help other people other than your family?
Yeah, yes.
And where does that duty come from? Who told you you have a duty to help other people other than your family? I mean, what makes you think that?
Because God didn't have a, you know, picks and chooses. Anybody that's needed, it's in the Bible. If somebody needs help, I help them.
Okay. It's in the Bible. Okay. So when you get a chance, I want you to give me a scripture on that. And we're just asking here, you all, if you're just joining us, we're talking about, do I have a moral duty or obligation to help other people other than my family? Let's go right over to the story, and then we're going to come back. Darren Deedy, please stand by. And Go Girl, please stand by also. We're going to come to you all momentarily. Tonight's characters are... they just showed up. And all of these stories are inspired by true stories. The names, of course, are always changed to protect the innocent. Quinn and Rita, they met in their senior year of college and have remained close platonic friends since that time of nearly 2 years ago. They are both 23 years of age and looking forward to a promising future and careers. They have seemed to always agree on most things but have had difficulty in agreeing on whether individuals have a moral duty or obligation to help people other than their own family members. Now, Quinn feels that we don't have a moral duty or obligation to help anyone that is not a part of our family, that's not a part of our, or not a part of our family or a family member, or some family member whom we like because we may not like all of our family members. Now, Rita, on the other hand, feels that the world would be a much better place if we all looked out for each other, whether we are family members or not. She has always felt this way since her days as an elementary school student and has lived her life on that premise. Now, Quinn is the type of person who feels that people should work hard at what they want to reach success, as Rita has opposed views in thinking that family and environment play a significant role in how people manage in their lives. She feels that not everyone is given the same opportunities, and it becomes our duties or obligations to help those people who may not be in a position to help themselves. Now, she also feels it should not be solely based on the people in need being a family member. Rather, it should be people from all walks of life. Well, here lies the discrepancy between her and her best friend, Quinn, as a recent conversation has them thinking whether their friendship is worth it because this has become a major issue for them. So, Darren Deedy, I mean, should they break their friendship, the platonic friendship that they have, because of this issue, that just because it's become a major issue?
I really don't think so. We all have opinions. And we all have our own morals, shall I say. But, no, I wouldn't end the friendship, but it kind of definitely puts your friendship into a different view. You really know each other now. So, yeah, it's just your individual choice, your own morals.
All right. Go Girl, I want to bring you in here. Go Girl, I mean, here it is. I mean, it's a platonic friendship. But they seem to always have a discrepancy with this very issue. I mean, she wants to help people. She's been doing this since elementary school. And Quinn feels, you know, differently. People, if it's not my family, I'm not going to help them. What are your thoughts on that? Is he a bad person for thinking that way?
I don't think that their friendship should break up over that, because one could influence the other by simply expression or showing the other how it may help another person. Sometimes people just don't understand because they've never been put in that position or they don't know of people that have been in that position. So they tend to just quickly say, no, I'm not helping. No, no, no. Or, I mean, sometimes I feel like that. But at the same time, when you sit there and think about it, if God is directing your path, or you understand that charity begins at home, and the poor will always be with us, and there are just some people who will not be influenced by a building, they're going to have to see God in you. So you're in that case, in your own heart, you understand what your conscience is saying to you. Help them if you can. Again, there is a liability that could be attached with the situation, so you would have to assess that and then say, okay, how far should I go into helping that person? I mean, you're not to just pay a person's bills because they out there doing anything they want to do. But at the same time, you could be influential into helping them to see where they should be without judging it so much.
That's a very interesting point. Very interesting point. Rick to the Rescue, I want to bring you in. I mean, I want to take a look at something in this storyline, and I want you to speak to that issue, if you would. Now, Quinn is the type of person that believes that people should work hard at what they want to reach their own success. Now, Rita has opposing views because she talks about the environment. Environment plays a significant role in how people manage their lives. So my question to you is, she says everybody's not given the same opportunities, and it becomes our duty. This is her opinion now. It becomes our duty to help those people who are not placed in a position to help themselves. How important is that? Environment. She talks about environment.
So, yes, and that is an ongoing debate, and we can look at it from the standpoint of the situation with the student loans now, which is kind of drawing lines and barriers between people. And when you're looking at the different environments people are growing up in, some people are able to manage through those situations, but a lot of people more than often are not. And so the environment can play a role into it, but ultimately – a person is able to overcome barriers, you know, if they're able to project themselves in a direction that was going to help them move forward. And so when you're talking about those environmental barriers, even if we're saying something as simple as in some areas they don't have the resources, they don't have the books, they don't have the materials to learn and grow, that could put them at a great disadvantage. And so a lot of people come in with this save the world mentality, especially if they didn't grow up in those situations. And so if you're more far removed from it, in a lot of situations you could seem like, you know, you're more inclined to go in and save it.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a very good point that you're mentioning. So if I grew up in a very poor environment and all of a sudden now I finished high school, now I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm on top of the world. But I'm still in that environment where I pretty much only know my surroundings in that environment. Should I have, Ricky to the Rescue, an expectation from you or people, let's just say people like you, that may have a bachelor's or a master's degree or even a higher degree, a terminal degree, should I have an expectation that you should help me to come to be better? Because I come from an environment, you know, a different environment. Maybe you came through a poor environment, but you succeeded. Should I have an expectation that if you expect me to do better, then I need to help. Otherwise, don't judge me from the environment that I come from because my etiquette is not as good as yours is when you see me out eating. What do you think? Should I have an expectation?
Well, I personally don't think there should be an expectation for anyone to expect someone to do anything. But I think what's important in this situation for us to look at as well is what is help, right? Because and now I'm thinking about to when you asked about the person who's on the street. And so they're out there and they say, hey, I need some money for food. So if you go into that situation and say, oh, okay, I'm going to bring you some food. Watch how that person could change in a lot of those situations. Or if a person is telling you I'm hungry and you offer them a job, are they actually going to work the job that you offered to them? So when we start talking about help, what kind of help are we talking about? Because if a person is asking you for something, you know, and especially if they're out there each day asking for the same thing, is that
right.
really helping them, or is that enabling them to continue to do the same thing, which is allow them to be in that situation? And so I think it's keen to try to look at what exactly we're talking about as it pertains to help.
All right. Ms. J, with Richard Tereshu, we haven't said that. So now, I mean, it becomes kind of confusing. I was out there yesterday. I was out there last week. And just so happened, you saw me out there twice that you come out there, and I'm just like, I'm doing the same thing again, and then I done seen 400 people since I saw you last week. Don't remember you, but I approach you now, Miss Jay, and it's like, Miss, can you just spare $3? I just want to get me some soup and some water. Now, my story is slightly different this time. I need some soup and some water. Now, Miss Jay, but of course you remember me because you saw me out there last week, and you've seen me out there three times. Miss J, now, at what point, I mean, this is what I do every day. You expect me to have a job. And it's like, I'm out here, I'm. If you want to call me a beggar, I'm a beggar. Miss J, are you going to just give me the $3 or are you going to preach to me?
You know, that's what I said earlier about the moral limits. So this
yeah.
is going to give me some limits. This guy on the street like that, I'm going to test him. I'm going to say, come on, let's go in here and let me buy you some food. And then that could be my test for him, whether he really need this money to eat or whether he won't get that beer you talked about, you know. And I probably at some point, if I see where he's coming from, I'm going to stop helping him. And then you talked about that person that didn't get as much education as the other person. When
right.
he may have had resources, the opportunity, but he think I should help him, that's where one of them limits come about. No, you got these resources. I can introduce you to the resources. But it's not my moral obligation to help you to get that education, but it is to assist you, to introduce you to stuff. So I have limits to how much things I do for people like that. But let me give you this example right quick. I've been living in Atlanta for, oh, my God, 50 years or so. But anyway, it was this lady. She'd be on the street all the time, and she begged for money. She even preaching with the Bible, begging for money. Then this one lady came up one day. She said, I'm going to call her Susie. Susie. Why are you on this street? You got more money than I got, and I work every day. You out here begging for money. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. She told the lady. You know what that woman did? She put that Bible down and started cursing that woman out on the street.
Oh, my.
Because the woman
okay.
called her out. So you got to watch people like that. They be out there every day begging. You think you have the moral duty to kind of give them a little something. But, you know, at some point, you got your limits to it.
Right, and saying what you're saying. But, see, the question becomes, it does make it difficult. You said it earlier. It makes it difficult for the people who genuinely are in need. I watched
yeah.
at least 10 clippings yesterday on this very issue. One lady was bent over and turned out they followed her. The cameras followed her, and she turned out to be living in a mansion. And then she was bent over as if she was, like, in her 70s. But then they found out that the lady was in perfect health and could walk and do everything else, but she was living in a mansion. And then another clipping was where somebody there was making over $100,000 a year doing this very thing. So why go out and get a job? So we're going to ask you all to stand by. We got a lot to cover tonight, and we're halfway through the program. We're not going to be able to finish it all tonight, you all. If you want to chime in, press 1. We're going to go to Alabama now, I believe it is. Let's bring in Jack. Jack, thank you for your patience, all of you all. We're going to try to get as many people as we possibly can tonight. Jack, thank you for your patience and all of you all. Jack, do we have a moral duty or obligation, a moral duty or obligation to help people outside of our family?
I'm going to say somewhat yes, but God helps those that help themselves. A lot of times we do things and we don't think about it and we don't worry about what the consequences are going to be. I remember one time I saw this man on the street, and I was working at that time, and then he asked for some money to buy some food. So I gave him some money to buy some food, and then when I got in the office, they said, why did you give him money? All he's going to do is take it and drink it. Now, I did my part because I don't know. I can't read his mind. I just went ahead and had given him the money that I felt that he needed to buy him some food. But now there's another time where we were feeding the homeless at a park. I took some children out to a park, and we were feeding the homeless. And they all came and grabbed the chicken and all the food that we had. Come to find out, a number of those people that were there, they were not homeless. They were just there at the park just having a good time, and then they were leeching off of people that would bring food, and then they would go home to their nice homes. And all. So you just never know. I mean, I do my part. I don't worry about it because the Bible does say that we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. So if we do it, then I wouldn't have attacked that lady like that lady did earlier with the caller that said. I wouldn't have attacked her like that. I may have would have talked to her privately in another setting or something, but not there where she was. That's what stirred that up, where she got upset and she put the Bible down, and then she started cursing the lady out and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so, Jack, let me ask you this question. I heard you say earlier that God help those who help themselves. You know, we go pretty much, we travel often, and I'm in other countries quite a bit, and I know the last country I just came from was Mexico. And over there, it's just, I mean, there's a lot of poor things that are going on, just as in some of the other countries. So, I mean, I've got three-year-olds coming up to me, grabbing my legs and asking for money. And you got, looks like their great-grandmothers are there. They can't even get up. They're not in a healthy position to get up. So when the situation is like that, Jack, I'm asking you just briefly here, can we expect God to help those who can't seem to even help themselves? How does that work?
Well, I think that now that the situation like that, where you can see that the grandmother is destitute and also that she's kind of sickly or whatever, and the child is coming up to you and asking stuff, I think it's our responsibility. I think we have a obligation, basically, to help those, because we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. So in my situation, I would definitely help someone like that, definitely reach out and try to help them.
All right, so recognizing that these people are out there, I've been over there so often, and the same people are out there every day, and now they see you because I'm coming through customs, and they're out there every day, and immediately the kids recognize you, so they're running up. So now, and then the great grandmothers who can't even get up, and they're lined up, and so they're pushing the kids. Okay, there's that man, and they're just pushing the kids. Make sure you go grab him, or others who are helping. So now these are the same people that are out there every single day. Should I take the attitude and say, well, gee, I just helped you. I'm crossing the border now. I just helped you like last week. I helped you yesterday. You know, at some point, do I keep doing this? And then when I leave, they're still going to be out there. So what should my attitude be, Jack?
Well, in these third world countries, you know, they're not as fortunate as we are here in the United States. We waste more food than what they have. A lot of them are destitute. A lot of them do need help. And that's the only thing they can do. I mean, it's poverty stricken there in some of those third world countries, and Mexico is like that. I do understand that. I mean, I do my research, and I've read a lot about that, how they are destitute over in Mexico and a lot of the other third world countries and all. But I think we have a moral obligation to try to assist in every way possible. I mean, you do what you can. I mean, you do what you can, and you try to help. Maybe you can point them in the right direction. Maybe they have some type of resources there where they can get some help as well. And maybe you can point them in that direction. Do your homework while you're there and say, now I'm going to give you this time, but maybe the next time you might want to go here because there's some places here where you can get some financial assistance or some food or whatever. You can point them in the right direction as well.
Right. Okay, so Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone line. It's just one. We got a lot of comments to take. You know, we're not going to be able to finish the show tonight, you all. So we're going to ask you all to bear with us. Poor Rosette, just quickly here, I want to bring you in here. You got countries that, I mean, like America has a system that if you fill out the paperwork, you may be able to get the assistance that you need. Somewhere along the way, America provides the help. But there are very few countries, from my experience of having traveled throughout, from British Honduras, London, England. London, England has a pretty good program. Finland has program, but not every country. I mean, I've been in Jamaica. They don't have a welfare system. you know, I've been to other countries. They don't have the systems that America has. So, Fort Rosette, my question becomes, should I just expect God to just take care of those people who I can almost assure you that they're out there every day? Maybe that's how they survive.
Yes, what I have to say is that's why you have to take time to get to know the people around you. Then you will know how to be a blessing by what you say and do. Show love for people in your everyday life, and this can alleviate a lot of pain and strife. Being loving and caring can build a world of sharing. And so, you know, of course, if you're over there passing through, you may be able to help right then, and maybe you can point them to a church or something else. But it would be good to maybe ask them a few questions to try to see or assess what you may be able to do further. But if not, then just helping them on the spot would be good enough.
All right. So Port Rosette, you say get to know the people around you, and I heard your poetic line, and I appreciate that. So now, I don't live in Mexico, so, I mean, am I hearing you say, so just take time to communicate with them to find out how I can help? That would mean that I would have to go into their government, to get into their government to see how they can get something better. And I'm not just talking about Mexico. We have a lot of countries where governments are corrupt, and it's very difficult. It becomes a very political thing when you're trying to get in there to the government as a foreigner, coming from another country, and you're trying to get in there. I mean, you can run into some problems. You can run into some serious problems. I got caught into one of these countries, and they gave me a very difficult time. And not only me, but some other folks from the United States, you know, when you're trying to help, you can run into some very difficult times. And the thing is, you want to get back home. So, Missy, I want to bring you in here and ask, I mean, because we're looking at the premise that God helps those that help themselves. What about the people who are starving? Is it our moral duty? Now, maybe if all of us, we the people, and when I say we the people, I'm not just talking about the preamble of the United States of America. I'm talking about we the people of the world as humans, one race, the human race. Maybe if all of us were on the same page, then we could probably do a lot more by having a moral obligation. Ms. J, your thoughts on that, quickly, please.
Well, it's the government duty, but as far as my moral duty, I can only do what I can do, which probably won't be that much, me personally. But if you got some rich person, yeah, it should be a moral duty to help others. If he's just throwing waste of money, he should want to help somebody with it, because he was blessed with a lot of money.
So, remember the saying, each one reach one? I mean, let's say, what is that? What could that mean for the world? Each one reach
one. What is that?
We have to be rich to help somebody?
No, you don't have to be rich, but if you're talking about helping them with money, you got to have some money, because I'm not rich, so therefore I can't give a lot of money to different countries, because I'm trying to make my ends meet here in America myself. Now, you said just for my family, I'm saying for me. But I can contribute something to them, and maybe the little bit I contribute will help somebody. But, you know,
no.
You have to have money to help people with that need money.
You certainly do. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to take some more of the phones. We're trying to get to everybody, as many people as we possibly can. We're almost out of time, you all. We're going to let Ricky to the Rescue close us out in about 20 minutes. Ricky to the Rescue, would you do that for us? You close out in about 20 minutes with this topic?
Okay, no problem.
We'll be coming back to you also shortly. Let's go to the phone lines. I believe we have Danny from South Florida. Danny, do we have you on the line tonight? Okay, perhaps we don't. Let's go to, we're going to call out six numbers of you on number because your names are not showing up in the queue. Let's go with 954-299. Who do we have with us and welcome? 954-299. All right, perhaps that person is just listening in. Let's go to 772-343. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Who do we have? 772-343. All right, perhaps they're listening in as well. Let's try another one. Let's go to Marjorie Cross. Marjorie Cross, Thank you for joining us. We're going to ask you to just give us briefly, do we have a moral obligation to help other people other than our family? Yes or no?
Yes,
and why?
I think we do.
Okay, why?
Because, you know, we don't just want to just help other people. We want to also help, not just to help our family, to help other people. Because we don't want to just be selfish. We want to share the love to everybody. Whatever you can help, help. You know, whoever
right.
you can help, help.
All right, so does that mean if a person does not, if they choose not to help somebody else outside of their family, does that make them a selfish person, Marjorie Cross?
No, I don't think so. It's just depends on the person. You know, you just have to have a conscience or, you know, you just have to have a giving spirit or a helping spirit. You know, that doesn't mean that they're selfish, you know. That doesn't mean that they're selfish, no.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here quickly and ask you the question. You know, going back to our story tonight with Quinn and Rita, you know, does that make Quinn a bad person because he feels that people should, you know, pretty much work hard? You know, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your environment is, you know, you just keep pressing forward until you get there. Other people have done it. What do you think, Darren Dede, quickly? And then we're going to have Ricky to Rescue give us his commercial break, and then we'll bring in Marjorie Cross.
Thank you. I believe he has a right to his own opinion and his own belief system. And Rita, I have to share her moral values. I mean, if you see someone struggling, you should help them. And it's not necessarily monetary-wise. For example, just this past week, we've seen an older man standing in the middle of a parking lot. He was lost and confused, and I told Nick, my husband, go and make sure he's okay. And so my husband went out there. The guy was deaf, and he was dumb. He couldn't speak or anything. So I went out there, and I helped, and I got my phone out, and I'm texting him, and he's nodding and shaking his head and stuff. But my thing was to get him out of the road, out of the parking lot, and sat him on a bench till his ride got there. He was obviously confused, standing in the hot sun. But, see, I had that moral obligation. I had to force my husband. I was like, go help him. Go help him. He was like, he's fine. He's fine. I said, Nick, no, he's in trouble or something. If he's not, then I feel better if we can leave. But I couldn't leave that man standing there in the middle of that parking lot. So Rita would be the same way. But, we all have our own belief systems. But I don't think I could just bypass somebody who's actually in need. But that's my value here.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Rick to the Rescue for a commercial break. Rick to the Rescue.
Yes, good evening, everyone, again. I am Ricky to the Rescue, founder of A Path to Greatness, LLC, located in Georgia, in Decatur, Georgia, where we provide life coaching services, which includes mediation, conflict resolution, anger management, life coaching services. If you are in need of help, you can visit the website at 2greatness.com. That is the number 2greatness.com. Also, you can reach us on the phone at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940. Thank you.
All right, excellent. Thank you for that commercial break. We're going to go live now. Once again, we got a lot of comments covering him. Marjorie Cross, we're going to go ahead and give you a 25-second commercial break as well. Go ahead and give us your commercial break. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening again, Dr. Walk, and everyone on the line. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a nurse, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. We're A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. We have many health products that may be able to help you with any health condition. And you can go to the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. And we have a lot of products like collagen, we have hair products, a lot of different products. So you go to the website and you'll be able to see that. Thank you, Dr. Walker. God bless.
All right. Thank you so very much for that. We're going to go take some of the comments. We're going to take about 5 or 6 comments into the studio tonight. Jack, we're going to give you the very first comment that's coming into our studio. Then we're going to be followed by, let's see here, we're going to bring in Go Girl as well. This comment comes in. This young lady writes in. She says, I think we have a moral obligation to help other people that are outside of our family because I think that that's the Christian thing to do. Jack, what do you think about that comment?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, I think it's biblically speaking, when we do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto him. So those that are destitute, we're to help them. Those that are in prison, those that are sick, it's our moral obligation to assist those people in any way possible. So what I said earlier is that we can't worry about whether they're legit or not. We do our part. The Holy Spirit will direct us and let us know exactly whether that is legit or not. And then you just follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit, and you go with that.
All right. We're going to ask if I think Patricia Parker, are you still with us, Patricia Parker? Perhaps she's just listening in tonight. Okay. Then let me go with Go Girl. Go Girl, I want to bring you back in here and give you this comment because we are almost out of time, you all. Go Girl, the comment comes from this female. She writes in, she says, it appears to me that people who claim they want help but rather want something for nothing, and sometimes your helping others could reverse on you, as Ricky the Rescue said. That's just my opinion, she says. What do you think, Go Girl? I mean, sometimes it could reverse on you. So should that put people in a position where they say, where they tighten up and say, you know what, I'm not going to take the risk of helping anybody? Go Girl, your thoughts.
I think your conscience or your gut kind of pushes you into a situation where you know I need to help. Fear, it could be fear, but also I just think people, if it's your neighbor, you may react one way. If it's a family member, you may react another way. If it's someone you don't know, you may be a little bit hesitant due to you just not knowing the person. But I just kind of think that I don't think most people look at it as I'm not going to get involved because I'm about to be, this going to backfire on me, especially if the person is in, I mean, immediate distress, or you see that person in lost consciousness because of, you know, something that they might be going through. It's an individual thing, and some people could stomach certain things and some people can't. You know, they might have to walk away simply because it may bring their blood pressure up or make them, you know, ill, physically ill. So they can't help if they're like that. But I think that in general, if we are able to help, we could, we should. But again, I'm like with the others have said, you know, if your gut tells you to leave this alone, again, you're right, you could just dial 911. It may be you just taking the video, I don't know. But I think we should help when we can help.
All right,
without
we're
questioning,
ask,
you know, the difference.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Port Rosette, I want to bring you in here. Port Rosette, I know when we were on a plane, they say put on your put the face covering, your oxygen mask over your face first before you proceed in helping somebody else. So now it almost sounds like tonight what I'm getting from this, the discussion tonight, that we need to be in a position to help people if we can, and that's what I think that most of us are saying tonight. So if someone is, you're at a pool, Port Rosette, and there's, you're with, you know, you don't know the people, a couple of people are over there, and you find that this little, let's say a 12-year-old ends up in 6 feet, and he can't even swim. He ends up in 6 feet. Now, you can't swim. And then there's no lifeguard on duty. Should you have a moral obligation to jump in there when you can't even swim to help him? Where was that?
Definitely. If I don't know how to swim, I wouldn't be the right person to do it because then I could cause more of a problem.
So, by drowning yourself with them?
You know, I can scream out for help for someone else. And so there's other ways that you can help someone other than, like you said, you have to have some of whatever you're trying to give away. And I do know that, you know, I wanted to kind of say this comment too, that that everything in the universe was made to give. You know, we need to use our God-given gifts and talents to serve humanity in our homes, schools, churches, communities, and the world is how we should live. And so if I'm able, I'll do it. If I'm not, then, of course, I'll get help.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. T, I want to bring you in here. So here it sounds like we ourselves need to be in a position to help, because just as she said now, here she said to me, and this is what I understood. She says, "Even I'm the wrong person to ask," and I quote, "I'm the wrong person to ask to jump in and help that little 12-year-old if I can't swim." But she did say, "I would scream out to somebody else to see if they could help him." So then, Ms. Yee, my question to you is, are we screaming out? Do we have a moral duty or obligation to scream out to others to help those where we're not in a position to help? Ms. Jane?
Yes, you have a moral obligation to do whatever you can in a case like that to help a person. You know, if you see somebody in need, health-wise or harmful way, if you can help them in any way, yes, you have a moral obligation to do that without any doubt. You know, why would you sit back and see somebody, you know, being harmed or whatever, you know? So, yes, you definitely do. And I was going to say, too, when you asked my question, I said, just as long as things are ethical and they're good and right, I'm going to try to help in whatever way I can, you know?
Right, right. Ricky DeRescue, I want to bring you in here quickly right now. We're going to take some more comments, but we're going to be closing out in about 8 minutes. We're going to turn it over to you to close us out. Ricky DeRescue, so now you see you're out with your significant other, you're having dinner, and now you see an altercation going on. And a man and a woman are in this altercation. And it looks like the woman is just quiet, but the man is all of a sudden now, he's slapping her and then choking her. Ricky to the rescue, do you have a moral duty? And nobody is doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. The restaurant is full. But this man is choking this woman to death. And you're witnessing this. Ricky to the rescue, do you have a moral duty or obligation to help her? She's not your family member.
Right, and I am a proponent. I believe in allowing the professionals in situations to handle that situation. I'm hoping security is there if I can call 911, anything like that. I have seen too many situations where people place themselves in more harmful situations when they're not prepared to deal with the situation. And so I would definitely want to lean on the appropriate people who are there to serve and protect.
But Ricky to the rescue, by the time 911 gets there, this woman is choking. The man is choking her to death. This happens all the time in broad daylight. This woman will be dead. Ricky to the rescue, would you be able to sleep at night knowing that they didn't get there in time and she died?
Well, I can't say if they're going to get there in time or not, because I truly don't know. Right?
Right.
But, you know, in those situations as well, I think it's human nature to want to help. So, you know, from just the standpoint of reacting, you may jump up before you realize it, right? But as
right.
you start to think through the situation, because you got to be realistic. If that person has a gun, right, and you, as you start to approach that person, you may turn around and just say, you know what, that person got a gun, right? But if you don't see the gun, you might make it all the way up there. So it's relative to what you're actually exposed to at that particular time. That's why I'm saying I would try my best to really assess it before anything is done. And if it's in my power to help, you know, I think it's in human nature, I would help as such.
Okay, so Ricky, to the rescue, I want to ask you this here. What if it was your daughter that was being choked? And I don't mean your literal daughter. Just say, for example, and you could be anyone. You could be me. What if it was our daughter that was being choked? When you want someone to act, because even the law says we have a right to stand in defense of others. The law says that. So, Ricky, to the rescue, when you have wanted, I know if it was my kid, or even if it wasn't, I would want to try to help where I could. I can't see why I would be like, all the men in there, man, let's get him, let's get him. Ricky Rescue, what do you think? Like, scream out like Port Rosette says.
Right, and so there's some things we just don't have control over, right? And so I can think of situations right now that has happened to members of my family, right? Dangerous situations. And so just in knowing that there's some things we don't have control over, and I really believe, you know, in trusting, you know, and having faith that whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. And it's not, you know, just some things just out of my control. And to look at it to say what someone should have done or what they could have done, the situation still could have turned out with the same result. Whereas if you step in, it may be three dead people instead of one. So, you know, to kind of play the game of maybe this or maybe that, I don't really look at situations that way.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go back to some more of the comments that have come in. Let's go to Go Girl. Go Girl, we're going to give you this comment. We need to do them in 15 seconds or less now because we are almost out of time. This male, he writes in, he says, there may be times when you think you are helping others and you later realize that you are enabling them. Go Girl, we're enabling people when we're helping them? How? Because the man was there last week, 2 weeks now, and he's still there at the same thing, so we're helping him because he's eating and he's getting his beer and his soda, and I'm not beer and his cigarettes, and we're not knocking people by what they do. Go Girl, are we enabling him?
Yeah, you could enable someone by always giving to them or not allowing them to figure it out for themselves or at least attempt to find a solution for themselves. However, when we're on the streets and we don't know this individual, we can only leave it up to our heart. From there, you know, we're not enabling them. If we see them again, like I did have a situation with a young girl and her daughter, and I saw one weekend and she asked me for money. She said she didn't get a check yet and she wanted to get her daughter some food. The next time I saw her, I said, okay, I'm going to give you some more. I gave her like $4. I said, I'm going to give you some money again. However, remember I gave to you last week. Now, if you're going to stand in front of the store, I believe you can find something else you might be able to do that will give you some means to help feed this child or go to another situation where I know for a fact they do have places where they are feeding. A lot of churches are giving away food. So
right,
that's what I told her. I gave it to her that day, but I felt like she was taking advantage of the situation.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time. We got to turn it over to Ricky Rescue. In about 1 minute, we'll turn it over. Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here. This female, she says, I think it's good if you could genuinely help the real people who actually need the help. But how do you know? I think we have a moral duty, obligation to help those people outside of our family. Darren Dede, quickly, what are you saying? How do you know? That's the question. How do you know who needs the help?
Well, you have to go with your moral. I couldn't sleep at night if I left someone, you know, in the raw or something, but we had talked about those people on the roadside, and I've heard so many stories that they make over $600 a day. That's not a bad day, so I don't feel bad because I do see the same people moving from one end of the town to the other end of the town, and none of them look like they're starving. So there might be a truth to that, but it's a shame that there are really people out there who are needing the help. So I do throw them a couple quarters or whatever in their little bucket, but that's just me. I can't turn a blind eye.
All right. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. This is about to conclude our show, but we're going to turn it over to Ricky to Rescue. And I've seen people with signs. You know, I saw someone that was really sophisticated sign that says, if 100 people would give me 50 cents a day, I could make it through. 100 people giving me 50 cents a day, that's $50 a day. That's not a bad day, you know, for not having to go out and work anywhere except stand out. But, you know, we don't know who's genuine. We're going to turn it over to Ricky's Rescue. Do I have a moral duty or obligation to help other people other than my family? Ricky's Rescue.
Yes, and so this moral duty that we're describing, and when we say moral, I think we kind of automatically give credit to a person being human in the sense of the humanity part of it, right? But I don't know how connected all of the callers are to, like, the hip-hop culture, as I give an example. It's popular to call yourself a demon, right? And if you look at it from that standpoint, would you help a devil? Would you help a demon? Like, when we start saying we helping something, what cause are we supporting and not even knowing? And so not only could we be tricked sometimes when we're on the road and, you know, we have that person, they could be a con artist, right? And they can have this sob story and they could say, I need help, and you go out there and help. We have to come to a place where we're actually helping who needs to be helped. And in the sense of helping them to get out of the situation, and as what was said earlier, not enabling whatever they're doing, right? And so I think in society today, it has become so popular to get over on people. The true people who need help, they get lost in the shuffle. And just in the field that I'm in, I can attest to, you can give all the resources in the world, you can give all the help you can give, and you can just really pour into some people, and some people still will not receive that help. And so when we start saying, you know, things about, I can't sleep at night, there could be situations where you find yourself can't sleep at night because you really done pull all your hair out saying, I can't help this person. And so it works both ways. And so I think you come to a place of peace when realizing that you can do what you're able to do and understand that some things you just can't control. And once you become, you know, get the realization that you some things you just can't control, you'll be able to have a restful night's sleep. And so those are my concluding thoughts as it pertains to this story. I hope everyone enjoyed the show this week, and I look forward to see you on again next week.
All right. Thank you, Rick, to the Rescue, for that closing. You always give a great closing. I want to say to all of you all, we certainly do appreciate all of you all joining us. Those of you all we weren't able to get to tonight, call in a little early, press one on your dial. We're going to try to get to as many people as we possibly can. The comments, we weren't able to get to all of the comments tonight. We do apologize for that. But the show goes, you know, even though it's 60 minutes, it seems like it's only 15 minutes. Listen, join us here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's topic is going to be, are there blessings and genuine giving as opposed to just receiving? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be here Saturday morning, 6:30 to 8:30, for our International Divine Intervention program. So either tomorrow night or Saturday morning, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Great closing, Ricky,
good
to
night.
The rescue. And hope everyone voted, and congratulations to all the winners. May God
yes.
bless you all. Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Take care.
Thank
Bye.
You.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Enjoy the show, everyone.
God
I
bless you all.
Show.
I enjoy the show as usual.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, man, this is...